Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Rahalastapa this week. Another one live from the Clapham Grand. Thank you to everyone at the Clapham Grand for having us. No audience, of course, and socially distanced. With Lou Sanders, third appearance. And her best, I think. It was lots of fun. Look, we're still doing these on Twitch every Wednesday. Things are a little bit up in the air for me at the moment. I'm sure the... reasons will become apparent fairly soon, if they haven't already. But hopefully I can carry on doing Rahalastapa during this time. At the moment, the lineup for future gigs includes 3rd of March, Jeremy Paxman. That's on twitch.tv/rkherring. It will go out as a podcast as well, of course, in its turn. 10th of March, Brian Reagan, who's a fantastic American comedian. That's another transatlantic one. And 17th of March, Andy Osho. Novelist, actor and comedian. Very much looking forward to all of those. I hope they can all go ahead. And they will come out as podcasts about 3 weeks after the record dates. So you don't have to watch them live. But if you want to watch them live, twitch.tv/rkherring. 8 p.m. on Wednesdays, usually. And if you like them and you're with Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to Twitch and Amazon Prime and give us £5 every single month. You have to come back and subscribe every month at no cost to yourself. So if you want to help us make more podcasts, why not do that? It only costs you your time and effort. There's a video explaining how it works on the front page of that Twitch channel, twitch.tv/rkherring. Anyway, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy another Rahalastapa. Hooray! Hello, welcome, man who can't believe how quickly the last week has gone. It's Richard Herring. Hello! It's great to be back here at the Clapham Grand. I don't know if I even said I was at the Clapham Grand last time. So we're at the wonderful Clapham Grand. It's packed with people. When the lockdown police find out about this, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. It's not. There's just the camera people here and the guests. Welcome to Richard Herring's Lou Saunders Tethering Podcast. She didn't know this, but I'm going to be tethering her to various things throughout the show to see how that works out. But I was hanging around with Jackie Weaver the other day, and she does not have the authority to call it Rollerstopper. And that's good, because that's a topical reference that by the time this goes out, people will have forgotten what that was all about, which is good. We're back with the nerds. Sky Brewer's trying to hold me a note, but not only has she gone sideways, it's backward, it's back to front. Muppets, callback. I managed to read it anyway. That's very good. She's addressed as Kermit. I noticed another puppet earlier. There's now... The screen has jumped around in the pre... James has put a big beer up against his camera and is wandering around in dubious jogging bottoms. I'm just trying to work out which person is most likely to be masturbating during this show. And I think it is David Frew. He does it at the front row of the Leicester Square Theatre. There, Kristin. She's got her puppet back. It's a red-haired puppet. Is having sex with a puppet cheating? I don't think it is. And there's another puppet with Lydia. Is it Lydia? Yes. That one's quite scary as well. And culturally inappropriate once again in my twisted, perverted mind. I've had a good week. This morning, the most middle-class thing possible happened to me. My dog ate the magnetic whisk for my milk frothing machine. I don't think a more middle-class thing has happened than that. In the whole of history. Thanks very much for tuning in, everyone. Thank you to the Clapham Grand for hosting this. Thank you for sticking with us, the audience at home. Why not buy my book, The Problem with Men? It's fantastic. Or Emergency Questions as well. I think we're going to crack more or less straight on unless the audience do something funny. You know, you're sideways, Sky Brewer. You weren't sideways before. What happened to you? That's better. she's not in the right place. She didn't know where she was going. Oh, there, she's the right way up again now. That's nice to know. And James is back. He seems to be on the phone. I don't know if he knows. This is immediate. That was an immediate response from James there. Ian Simpson. He might be playing a video game. Look at him. He looked at the camera. That's good. Nikki Fitzgerald spent a lot of time setting up that camera shot, and it looks good. Nikki, you're looking good. Don't worry. Not like the other hideous nerds out there. Let's crack on. There's a picture of me behind Steve. Thank you, Steve. Well done. You should be very proud of yourself. And there's Andy McCage. You're much better than last week's audience. Did I say that yet? Anyway, my guest this week is probably best known for her appearance as a woman attempting to give oral sex to Richard Herring on As It Occurs to Me. It is Lou Saunders, ladies and gentlemen. Here she is. Wow. That's an outfit.
No, I didn't put... I did bring a nice outfit to wear, but I thought we were going casual, so...
This is my best possible shirt that once fitted me before lockdown happened.
Who have we got, then? That's
nice. We've got lots of nice people.
I tell you what, they do look fatigued, because I think a lot of... Oh, that's nice. Love is a babe. It's upside... It's round the wrong way.
It's your back to front.
What's Sky saying? It's... Love is a baby. Love is a baby.
Love is a baby.
Pin that video.
Oh, there she is.
Lou is a babe.
Lou is a babe.
She's absolutely bloody right. Sorry to hone in on that one. I don't know what I was thinking.
But the kind of people who think you're a babe don't understand how mirroring works on video. So that is...
Well, no one does. We're not all in the entertainment business. Can you do that because of COVID or not?
No, I can't touch it now.
I'll go and
pick it
up.
You've come to... Ah, no! You've broken every law. We're on film.
I kissed you backstage. No, I didn't. What about that scene where I'm giving you a BJ?
Do you remember it?
I remember it.
We spent an afternoon in a hotel room together.
Yeah, you paid me 50 quid.
Yeah, 50 quid.
Literally to pretend, but it was to pretend.
It was to pretend.
Also, why do I get a typecast? Also, the lighting on that was so horrific. I remember it really well because I could not believe how ugly he made me look. It was a real skill.
I don't think that's the case. That's Hold okay. that a bit close to your mouth. Just So with the
bring back memories.
It was a strange afternoon because, you know, you're one of my wife's best friend, possibly best friend.
I love your wife.
And, you know, and then I'm spending an afternoon.
You say it like you didn't write it.
I don't know how it happened. I was just cast. They said you're playing the part of Richard Herring. He's getting a blowjob. Someone's going to say he's got a small penis.
It was all very respectable.
It was very respectable. It was fun. That was years ago.
Yeah.
And things are going pretty well, Lou. For little Lou Sanders.
Things are going pretty well. We were saying back there, well, the first time I came on this, I was really ashamed because you know your shtick.
I do know my shtick.
Your shtick is to kind of be like, oh, you've done this shit thing. But I'd only done shit things when you had me on, and I was really embarrassed. And Annie McAfee was there with his friend, and she hated me. And he was like, oh, look, no, I think she's funny. And she was like, so angry.
Well, we've turned it round now, Lou. Look at you now. This is your third appearance.
I feel blessed and honoured.
Yeah, not many people get to come back three times.
When I do my gratitude list, This is top of three times on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, and maybe more. Who knows? Maybe more will come. I was watching you on the proper television last night with my wife in bed.
Did you do that out of loyalty to me or research for this?
A little bit of both.
Both, yeah.
A little bit of both. You're in a new show called Unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
Unforgiven's the Clint Eastwood film.
Unforgivable is my thing. But it's Mel Goodrich, really. But, not about that. But can't say a name. But also, you know, as a performer, you can't say, I saw you in this thing, and then just leave. You go like, oh, I saw you in this thing.
You were very good. It's a good show. So the idea of the show, which is something you're very good at in your stand-up act, is extracting humour from the awful, shameful things you've done in your life. Mm. And that's sort of the premise of this show, is to get celebrities to talk. It's quite a bold concept in a time when people are worried about, you know, being cancelled and
That's
saying the wrong
I
thing.
Think, and I think it's a good time for this to exist because it's sort of saying, oh, we've all messed up and let's have a laugh about it rather than this like black and white sort of, you know.
Yeah.
I've always thought we should say, because you know when you're growing up and you things happen to your body or you do things and you just want to like die with shame. But then if you speak to your mates and you all do it, then you're like, oh, it's just we're human. It's just to be human.
Yeah.
So I think it's very nice to like say I shat myself, you know.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the things about this judgment, and like obviously sometimes people have done things that we should be judging and we should be saying this isn't appropriate, but it seems very hypocritical because nearly everyone's made mistakes.
Yeah.
And even of, you know, not just shitting yourself, which most of us we've all done that.
Ew.
But, you know, saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And what I like about this is even within the context of the show, you're quite outspoken and go for
I had a dark...
You make a Schindler's List joke that's quite dark, and you joke about Alex Brooker's disability.
He said I could, though.
I know, but that doesn't mean you can.
But he said I could, so it's only him, well, and the rest of, you know, a community, I suppose. But I don't actually know. It's quite interesting. I don't know where the line is for stuff.
I know. I've noticed. I've known you for a long time.
But it's interesting, the sort of like in this social way. Like when I used to drink, I used to want to push the button. I was like, why is everyone so like, well, I wanted to say the thing and push the button, and I don't want to do that anymore because I don't want to ever upset anyone. But then there's a different thing going on where I'm like, why are we so, like, I just don't think it helps society. Like, we see our parents get themselves in so many knots because they won't just say the thing or with their friends. And it's just like, just say you want to hang out for a coffee, and they're both a bit paranoid. It's just like...
But I think also, like, comedy is about pushing buttons, but also certain people can say things that other people can't say in comedy. And with you, it's charming because it's almost like the character of Lou Sanders, who's very close to the real Lou Sanders, doesn't know what is appropriate and what isn't. So that's part of the joke of it, is that it's sort of charming when you're doing it.
But I think it's intention. I did upset one girl at a gig once, and I felt so bad. I couldn't sleep that night because I said something which I thought was funny in the moment, and she looked really, and she didn't have the like self-esteem to sort of deal with it. And she took it really personally. And then I ended up being friends with her. She was a friend of a friend. And I was mortified that I upset her. So I think usually my intention, I know Alex Brooker's not going to mind a joke that he makes loads of jokes about, so it's fine. But I would be mortified if I genuinely hurt someone, unless they were an absolute bell end and they love to take offence just for the sake of it.
Yeah, but that, I think that's it, that we are, you know, as a world, really, we're deliberately and searching out things to be offended
about.
And not even researching to see where that stuff came from.
I really want to write a show about that, because it's like ego versus soul. So your ego, and I do it myself, like when someone criticizes me online, I feel myself like, fuck you, you know, like looking at who follows her, like, you've got one follower, you can't. And then I'm like, what are you doing? Like, surely you're beyond this. But when it gets into you and you're like, right, that's your ego, like wanting a fight and stuff, it's so unhelpful.
It is. It can be fun sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes if you've got a good retort, like James Blunt's made a whole new career out of it. Yeah, good for
him. But also sometimes it's fun just to be, like with this, I was saying to you this one back, which on Instagram, you know, it was announced who the three people who are doing this show. And then some, you know, because it goes out to a wider audience. One guy went, oh, yeah, three woke comedians. And A, I thought, well, I'm not, and Lou fucking is not woke.
Did you hear my disability joke? No.
And then I said, you know, you don't know anything if you're calling me woke. You know, I don't think being woke is even a criticism, because it just means you're aware of being sensitive to people anyway. But I don't think you would count me as a 53-year-old white man as being the most woke person. And he said, then he came back and said, well, you'll find out you are. You're on a journey to find out that you, and you'll wake up one day and realise you're woke. And I tweeted him back, or Instagrammed him back, and said, well, one day you're on a journey and one day you wake up and find you're a cunt. And I thought that was quite funny, but it's obviously quite offensive. So, and not very woke, because
not
you
very
shouldn't be using that word if you're woke.
Yeah, I want to be more woke, really.
Yeah. But you know, but I think that there was a guy who used to live in the desert in 2,000 years ago called...
Go on.
He's called...
Jesus.
Yeah. She said, judge not lest ye be judged, Lou. And, you know, that's what I think people should... shout back to that guy.
I'm sort of getting bang into Jesus.
Are you?
I think he has some good ideas.
He was high,
you know, a lot of the time. Because he was a real person, existed, whether or not you believe in religion.
He was high a lot of the time.
Yeah. On the cactus, I think this is one theory, on the cactus, you know, drug, you know...
He was eating cactuses. There is a theory that psychedelic drugs were growing amongst the crops at that time, then they wouldn't have been weeded out, so that when bread was made, it would often have elements of
Lovely.
So that's why people were seeing miracles and things.
Lovely.
Because of that. So you might be right. He might have been high, but I don't think you can say as an authority that he was...
Jesus was woke. Now he was woke. I don't know how to handle my microphone in everyday life.
No. Well, just, I think keep it... I'm just finding it a little bit hard to hear you, but hopefully people at home can.
Oh. Well, they look
they
bored,
right.
Stiff, so I think they can.
Just because we're in a... We're suddenly, Lou, having...
They look absolutely bored, rigid, so I think they can hear. What do you want us to talk about? Have you got any requests for areas? I usually talk about my vagina, but I'm trying to mix things up a bit.
Austin would like us to talk about World War II aircraft, I'm guessing.
Oh, Austin.
So he could go back to his days flying for the RAF. That's what I'm guessing.
Austin, we're not all virgins, babe.
Don't ask them for questions, they'll just ask.
Okay, fine.
That's why I'm sitting here.
We'll lead the ship.
These guys have no idea what they're doing.
Tracy wants us to go away. She's put her hand over the paw and over the camera. She looks... No, okay, we'll go away. Give them their privacy. Okay.
Well, that's very exciting. So that's on Dave.
That's
Unforgivable.
On Dave. Had a great time making it. There's only one joke that I regret, actually, and I do feel like I was a bit mean, because you know, if you're backed into a corner, hence bullies. Bullies are mean because they don't feel very good about themselves. There was one show where I didn't feel I was very good, and I was backed into a corner, and I said something really mean, which I don't stand by. That's coming out on Tuesday. And it's interesting. It's like your own thing you stand by. The thing with Alex, I know he was cool with it, so I didn't mind. But that bit, I'm like, oh, you let yourself down. And that's when you cringe watching it back.
But that's what comedy's like that, right? You know, because also it's got to be free enough for you to be able to say what you want. And a lot of it is about taking that leap into the dark and seeing whether...
And making mistakes.
Seeing whether... But you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But that's the contract, because... If you're pushing something... The Richard E. Grant interview I did that never went out, and I've mentioned this a few times, but there was a joke that was a massive risk, because I hadn't talked to him beforehand. I don't think this is why he didn't go out. I think he was sort of... didn't realise what it was quite going to be. But he was talking about the the Oscars and then people criticising him for playing up to it and trying to look all giddy and happy so he would win. Yeah. And I said, you know, and I thought, I'll take a punt. Something occurred to me in the moment. And I said, yeah, I mean, if you were that good an actor, you'd have won the Oscar, you know, which was a big risk to take with someone. And he laughed and everyone laughed and it was fine, I think. But then the podcast never went out, so maybe it wasn't. But, you know, without taking that risk and without going, well, I don't know whether this, he might be furious, he might storm out. And that's where comedy lives, on that kind of knife edge of, is this thing going to be? So I don't think there's any point. I don't think you should... Like, oh, I don't care about anything I've said. If you're sorry for something you said, you should say I'm sorry for it. But I don't think you should be made to dwell on it, and I don't think you should dwell on it yourself.
Because 9 times out of 10, you're glad you took the risk, and it leads to, you know, and then the 10th time you're like, oh, my God.
And the risk is what makes it work. So if you don't, if it never failed, or if it never went wrong, you wouldn't be doing it right anyway.
We don't want vanilla corporate comedy.
It's like on a tightrope. You want to see people fall off to their deaths. That's why you're watching it.
You want to see people cancelled and never work again.
But, you know, not many people really do get cancelled. But it's heartening to me to see that people would be... Because, you know, someone like Graham Norton on that first show, he doesn't really do shows like that.
I was really good to see him. He's so likable.
Yeah,
and
he was great, and he told, like, really, really revealing stories about himself.
He got his appendix removed for a prank, kind of.
He didn't even win for that one. No. It's the idea to come... it's good if you come bottom.
Yeah, you should come on.
Yeah. So he got that. I thought that was by far the best story in that round. Mel Gaudroyk can...
Yeah, but it's like Taskmaster. It's all made.
Yeah,
points,
she can.
You know,
she can. She should have a look at herself, like Greg Davis should, for all the times he didn't give me the
Come
top
on.
Marks.
Champions of Champions, we're going to do together.
I'm very excited.
Are you going to wear the same outfit, or are you going to change your?
I might change it.
Give the people what they give the content. Give the people the content they want.
I might borrow Skye's Kermit the Frog costume. I actually had a dream about doing Champion of Champions last night.
Did you? Taskmaster.
Yeah, I was. I did really badly, but it was happening live. And I was really, I was surprised at how straight down the line I was with my task. I thought I'd be more inventive, but I actually just did the things.
I haven't seen your series yet, but I'm going to watch it to see your gameplay.
You should watch it. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'll do the same thing, because I think I might take it. I was just trying to do it as quickly as possible and do it as straightforwardly as possible. Mm. And try, because I thought that was a good way to win as well. But also, I don't think you can... I don't think if you do the artifice of going, oh, I'm going to do this like in a crazy way, I don't think it works. I think if you do it in a crazy way, like you did a bit, and like Johnny Vegas certainly did,
but I think
it has to be real.
Yeah,
it's not
funny. I thought it was about creativity in that thinking you get more points if you were thinking,
I mean, there's loads of times I didn't think outside the box or just go, you know, basically just flip it and go, how could I make this happen without doing
it? So I've always got one eye on the edit, and route one doesn't make the best edit.
Yeah, it doesn't. But also, as we were saying before, I think you need one. Everyone needs to do what they're doing, and if everyone was doing crazy, I think the problem with Champion of Champions is everyone's already won, and we might all therefore be slightly too similar.
Who have you got? You've got me, Kerry Godleman, you, Lisa Tarbuck, love her. I love Kerry Godleman. Ed Gamble. I love them all. Hang on, who's the one?
And me and you.
And that's it.
There's five.
What a shit show. I'm not watching that.
Where's the crazy? You're crazy. Ed Gamble's not crazy.
I've asked to see if I can come on roller skates.
Right.
Because then if there's any speed challenges, I'll
That might be a problem for a lot of them, though. I mean, it might be good for ones where you have to be fast.
But there's shoes that double as roller skates.
Okay, so you can flip out the skates when you need to.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to have a rocket pack with an Inspector Gadget robot in it.
When I'm in the skate park, I got scowled at today by loads of teenage boys, and they look at me like they want me dead because I whoop like I do auntie noises. So, like, it's good to be... It's a really supportive community. It's really nice, usually. But it was a different skate park, and if, like, the young lads do a trick on their skate, it's nice to, like, be supportive. So I go, whoa! But then they look at me like, fuck off and die.
So you're into... You've done skating your whole life, though, right?
No. I did it for one show when I couldn't skate.
Okay.
But the funniness was that I couldn't skate.
Yeah.
And I did it when I was little, but I've only picked it up since November.
So it's a skill.
It's a new skill, but I had a bit of remembering there.
Right. And now you're heavily into skating.
Yeah, and I'm not going to have a baby. I mean, chances are I was going to have one anyway. I've decided I'm not going to have a baby because I don't want to be pregnant because then you can't skate. So I'm going to keep roller skating and then adopt.
Yeah.
But that's if I fall in love. Okay. So really, I need to fall in love, move to LA, adopt a baby. This is just me working out my life on your time.
And where does the skating come into this plan?
I skate all the time when I can, because LA is hot. You can't skate when it's raining here.
Okay.
So anyway.
So you're going to skate in LA with your adopted baby strapped to your back?
Or just get the adopted kid some skates, you know.
Skates as well, yeah.
You know.
They can't really skate for the first...
Well, you don't really adopt a baby.
Okay, so
sometimes
adopt
you do.
You can adopt a baby.
I'm going to adopt an 18-year-old. Anyway, go on. What else do you want to ask me?
I want to know more about skating. You just talk about skating as if it's... Oh, yeah, I've just been skating before the show.
I just love it. I love it so much. I think it's because the adrenaline that you used to get from gigs.
Yeah.
Remember the adrenaline?
I do.
That was what I loved comedy for. The feeling that you're going to shit yourself and be sick and you didn't want to go on stage. That's the exact same feeling I get before I go down a ramp.
So you do the proper ramp skating?
Yeah, but I haven't done the high one because I'm too scared. And I made a bargain deal with an 8-year-old the other day. This is a different skate park. He went, come on, he said, it's easy, why don't you do it, honestly, it's nothing. And I was like, I'm frightened. And then he said, okay, if I do a bunny hop, he was on a bike, if I do a bunny hop in, then you've got to do it. Is that a deal? And I said, yep, that's a deal. So he did his bunny hop in, he's like, no, you've got to do it. And I'm like, no. He's very frightening.
So you're hanging around at skate parks talking to 8-year-olds.
Yeah, like Prince Andrew. No, I've got some friends my own age, 24, 25. Yeah.
It's all right if it's a woman, isn't it? That's the one rule for the women. Mm. It'll all come out in the next generation.
Yes, because the difference is I'm not trying to fuck them.
Well, that's what you claim. If you're wearing a Donald Duck, is it a Daisy Duck? Yeah. Donald Duck.
Yeah, this doesn't bode well for the profiling.
Pocket full of sweets. Canny wee smile. Let's see what else I've got. Well, I very much enjoyed the first episode
of
Unforgivable, and I think you're very good. But your stand-up has been about that sort of the and you're very honest, just telling. Publicity of the show, you just kind of bluntly talk about these. Yeah, there's sometimes quite horrible things that have happened to you.
My mum watched it and my brother watched it and they hate me being crude on telly. So
right.
And my whole career is a nightmare for them. But I said about, I slept with this 45-year-old, about 45, when I was like 16, something like that. And this girl came in, had his daughter burst in on us. She went to my school. And then the joke that I said was, it's funny because me and the daughter couldn't look each other in the eye after that, but he'd looked in all of my eyes. But then I didn't realise if she got the joke. So did you get that? I meant arsehole.
That was my favourite bit.
I didn't think they'd keep that in there. This is a good idea because they keep in loads of stuff. Like, there's one episode where Josh Widdicombe is on and we're just talking for about half an hour before they go into the show. So we're just chatting around and then Josh said, sorry, Mel, can I ask a question? Is this the show? And they've kept that in. They've kept loads of really nice moments in. Like, Mel says a line in a really weird way, and I start laughing because the way she delivers it is, like, not normal. And I start laughing, and they've kept that in. So I think it's a nice, like...
Yeah, well, I think you get the beginning. Graham Norton says this is a very high concept. He makes some kind of twist take of the format, which did seem a bit confusing. You're hit with quite a lot of information right at the start, and it's a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
And there seems to be... So I think there's some stuff around there that you don't necessarily need.
It's series one, there's always iron out the details in series two.
You just want to hear people talking about, just go, what's your most embarrassing thing you've done when
you pooed
yourself?
But when you're making a show, and you might not know this.
I can remember back.
It's like there's so many format beats that we lost, and there's so many that you're running out. And we also had to just go for it, like 5 days prep for all the writing.
Yeah.
Because... we weren't sure whether we were going to film it because of COVID. And then everyone gets their stories really late, so you don't have much time to write, and they always change and stuff. And there were so many format points. Like, we were going to wear, like, these shoes that were, so Mel said she wants to do an ethical shoot. So when everything's, like, secondhand clothes and stuff. So I did that as well. And then I said, one of us said, why don't you wear the shoes like really bad? Because in charity shops, you can't get like good shoes. So her shoes were going to get worse and worse every week and stuff like that. And then they were like, oh, it's a bit too mad. And I think in the first series, you don't want to take too many risks because people are like, what is this? She's wearing clown shoes, you know?
I found it quite refreshing that it was a bit, it was sort of like slightly undercutting itself, taking the piss.
Yeah.
and things like where Mel's going, I'm going in the booth and I'm going to do this, and she tells her about Graham Norton standing her up at lunch. So it's, you know, it's good. It's fair. Well, you know, I've only seen one episode.
I think it will only get better as well. I do think it's really good, and yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
So it's all happening, Lou, and it's all down to you working with me on the FUBAR radio show, I would say, and the blowjob thing. Those two things together. People have seen those, thought, hey. Yeah. I think this girl's got something.
I thought you meant you had a lucky dick.
I've definitely got... My loins are lucky.
How'd you say I didn't go anywhere near it? Can I just say... I hope that's clear.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But you do, like, well, you talked about you've been on three times and you talk about how nervous you were on the first one, but also over the last, I mean, I've known you for as long as I've known my wife, basically. I met you shortly after I met my wife, and which is 13 years, I think.
Flipping hell. We never text or call.
It's what?
We never text or call, hardly
we don't,
ever.
We don't.
You're not very sociable.
But things, I'm not sociable. That's why this is my...
Oh, this is your way,
this is me being sociable.
You hang out for a month when it's being paid.
Yeah. I'll talk to people for an hour and that's it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going home.
If there's a revenue stream.
If I can be paid,
on
thank
my
you
terms.
For your money.
Yeah.
We'll spend it. I'm not drinking at the moment. Neither of us are drinking. But you are... You've pulled yourself together a little bit over the last decade, I would say.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Fuck me. The first time I went on Russ's Butter, I had two big glasses of wine, and then it sort of hit me as I came out sort of thing, and I was like a tiny bit sloshed and nervous. It was a really bad mix.
Yeah, you're not the drunkest person I've had on this, though.
No, but I think if you're quite new, like I feel like I was starting out, I was very nervous, the wine got to me, and I was just like such a...
It's difficult, but this is actually a difficult gig, and I do like to have newer people on, but I think it is a difficult gig for newer people because it's... You know, there's no hiding place in this. It's two people talking, and you're meant to do probably more talking.
I think it's more that, like, I just hadn't done anything, and so I was like, oh, no one's going to be interested because I haven't done it. And then you feel really stupid, like, oh, your little film. Also, I said in that I'd been in a film, which I thought was a film because I was only in it for a second, and it wasn't even a film. It was like a. I was talking about it like it was a feature film. And I think it was like an 8-minute short, which I didn't know. I never watched. So.
But what has... I mean, you know, I know you're into all your airy-fairy crystals and talking about your problems and stuff. Airy-fairy
woman.
Stuff like that. What is it giving up drinking that's made the difference, or is it a combination of things?
I think it's giving up drinking because I talked about this the other day on something. But I remember... Like live gigs, a lot of the time going really well, and like comedians being like, oh, I love what you do and stuff. And I was like, why aren't I on anything? Like, what? Like, comedians say they like me, and I remember asking Sarah Pascoe, and I said, why aren't I on TV? I'd like done one or two little tiny things. And she went, oh, because she was really honest, which I really respected her for. She was like, oh, yeah, because no one trusts you. You're like really shambolic and chaotic. And like, that's funny live, but no one's going to put it on the show. And I do think TV is quite corporate and they don't take risks. And so I was like, right, that's what I've got to do. And that coincided with a lot of people telling me I was an alcoholic. A light bulb went off. And 2 years later, I stopped drinking.
After 2 years. Did you get thrown out of the snowboarding festival?
Yeah, I didn't get paid for that.
Right.
I was chasing him up for money and he was like, are you insane? Are you kidding me? You ruined everybody's week. My gigs were good, but then after that I went off the boil. But it's very high altitude, so when you're drinking it really does hit you.
Yeah.
And then Caitlin Moran said a really nice tweet the other day and lots of people joined in and I thought, oh, that's really nice. And everyone was really nice about me. And then one girl, very nicely, she just said, oh, she was an absolute nightmare at MacFest. We'd all paid to see her. And she was an arrogant, rude, drunk nightmare. And I was like, guilty as charged.
But a lot of comedians feel they need to, like, a lot of comedians are worried about either giving up drinking or having therapy because they think it'll make the things go worse for them. But you think the opposite.
No, I think that's the ego again. Egos are not our friend. Clutching onto this idea of, like, I said to Harry Deansway once, you know Harry Deansway?
Yeah.
He's a legend in his own right, but he's sort of, his whole thing is peddling failure for a joke, which is funny to everyone but him really, because he can't move on. Yeah. And I said to him, Harry, you don't need to do this. And he was like, but then I wouldn't be me. we're both saying the same thing. But I think, yeah, it keeps us stuck because we sort of think we I don't know. The ego resists any change, not to get too deep. And so it keeps us stuck, but it's not necessarily good. Like, apparently you're always expanding or contracting. You're always moving.
Yeah.
So you might as well, like, try and move in the right direction.
Yeah. I mean, I think also, even Lou, a more sensible, sober Lou, is still quite an unusual person.
I don't...
And you're also, you know, the fact that you are happy... to tell these stories about yourself and to in the way you tell them, it's not what most people would do, and same for most comedians as well. Most people wouldn't want to get that out there, so that's unusual. And
But I think that's therapy. I think people do. I think comedians do. They tell stories on stage because it's cathartic. Because then they're like, it's like when a comedian comes out on stage and says, like, oh, a joke about them being, like, whatever it is, like really overweight or, you know, looking like a geek or whatever. They get it out the way so that they're like, yeah, I know, you know, I don't know. But also, oh, I watched this, that's what I was going to say earlier, I watched this thing called, can't remember, it's about a girl who was working in the porn industry. Do you remember that? On BBC recently. It was
I haven't seen it. Oh, no, I haven't
come
seen
on, you know it. Anyway, she was quite damaged, quite a damaged girl.
Yeah.
A lot of things went wrong when she was younger. And then she was working, like, as a porn star, and porn actress, porn star, whatever. I think that's politically correct, I don't know. And there was one scene in it where she said to someone, she was acting like an arsehole, and she'd been, like, sort of doing stuff that was, like, she'd been grabbing someone's ass and stuff, like a girl that worked on reception. And everyone was like, you can't do that. And she was like, oh, it's just been fun. And I thought, oh my God, I think I'm this girl. Because she said, I don't know where boundaries are. I realised. And then I thought, oh, I've got to be careful not to be her. But I do think it's weird. I don't know.
Well, if you did know where the boundaries were, then you wouldn't end up saying the funny things that you're saying. I think I think you are definitely moving it all in the right direction. It's definitely getting better and better. And I think with the kind of comedy you've done, it had to be that fizzing kind of, oh my God, what's, you know, this, are we going to get hurt? Is she going to fall off of roller skates and kill one of us? That was what is exciting about it. But you've kind of harnessed that, but it feels, you know, but at a safer place for yourself. But I don't think you've lost the spontaneity, and I don't think you've lost the stuff. You know, even in that show we're talking about, the things you're saying, nearly everything you say, you kind of go, why would anyone think to say that at that point? It's funny, but no one else would think of it. And that's what makes a good comedian, because it's, you're coming at the world from Lou Sanders' perspective.
Because I wanted them to take out this joke that I said to Jimmy Carr that's in the next episode, because they felt really mean. He didn't give a shit. But I was like, ugh, I don't want to go lowest common denominator. I don't want to do, like, stuff that I'm like, ugh. And I wanted them to take that out, but I didn't want to cause trouble, so I didn't ask them. And because I don't have any say over the edit. And I said to my friend, can you watch this and tell me if this is awful? And she's like, That is not what you should be worried about. You should be... There's another joke in there that's awful. You should be worried about that. And I'm like, oh, right.
But you see, I think coming from you... And it's what that's what Barry Cryer said to me years ago, saying, you know, it's not the joke, it's whether you like the person, right? So if the wrong person says exactly the same thing as you're saying or as I'm saying in certain things, if you don't like that person or if that person doesn't have... And there's something about good comedians and something about the comedians you like that means... And your friends, I guess, you know, just if you in general, if you're with the friends and your friend says something that's unacceptable,
because you know them and you like
them, it's okay. But if someone came up to you in the pub and said the same thing, I mean, it's kind of what Twitter doesn't get about jokes, you know, is that... Some, they go, well, why can't I say this? You know, you can say it in certain circumstances, but not at your grand's funeral or whatever. You know?
I'd still like to go higher and do jokes that are... But also, and everything is about context and tone, you know, because, I don't know, like...
Well, I don't think you should think about it too much because it's good.
No, I was thinking when someone else, like... If I did a tweet the other day, I said, like, when I talk about my labia, it's really charming. But when other people do it, it's disgusting. And I do think Twitter misses that tone. Even for me, I'm like, oh, God, like, what's, you know, like, some of the reply guys, you're like, no, that's not.
But that's, you know, that's part of the problem with social media is that it doesn't give tone. It doesn't, you don't know if someone's being sarcastic. I've just stopped tweeting most things because I know someone will take a joke literally or won't have been in a running joke. And so
but then we're letting them ruin our fun. It's like...
I know, so I still do some, but there's a lot of things saying, oh, I just can't be, that one's not good enough to bother having with a person coming and taking it literally and you go, yeah, no, it's a joke. So, you know, it's interesting. Right, let's talk about some other stuff. I did a virtual cuddle club with you and I've been listening to other cuddle clubs.
Have you?
On the drive here, I listened to two of your cuddle clubs.
Well, you're really good at your job. You really do research. Which ones did you listen to?
I listened to Brett Goldstein and...
First one I did.
Yeah, well, I listened to Catherine Ryan first. I thought that would be interesting, which it was.
Yeah,
and then Brett Goldstein just came on straight away after, so I listened to that.
Sindhu V has got a story on there that is like a film. It's insane.
Right.
She tells this story about, like, her nanny couldn't... She grew up in India, and her nanny... Yeah. Couldn't speak Indian. I don't know where she was from. Anyway, this story, there's got so many twists and turns. There's a ghost in it. You like ghosts, don't you? It's insane.
Well, listen out for that. And the Brett one was interesting because it sort of saw the... Brett's got a great podcast. And was that the starting point for you wanting to do your own? You wanted to keep up with Brett? He's a really friend of
yours. I've talked about this before, but we were sharing a flat in Edinburgh and he was doing a podcast with other people, and we were in each other's rooms all the time because Edinburgh's so horrible, isn't it? We're just like sit next to each other.
Thank God it's been cancelled and will be cancelled again. Thank God it's going down.
And and he'd do podcasts with friends and I would keep trying to disturb them, going like, what about me? And then he wouldn't let me on his podcast because I can't remember films if I've seen them, and then I can't remember what happens.
Well, you can't even remember the ones you've been in, what the one you've been in is. So.
I've been in a film. No, it's an advert. It's an advert. And then I said, I'm going to do my own podcast, which is Cuddle Club, and then I kept joking. So then I was in his at the BFI. He did his film podcast with... like quite a famous actor who had a stalker. So he was on edge because he was like, well, you can't let my stalker in, this actor.
Yeah.
Right, and then at the end of Brett's like BFI podcast, he knew that I was going to do it, but I put my hand up and I was like, because the long-standing joke is, I'm always trying to get on his podcast. So he said, oh yeah, lady in the scarf, whatever. And I was like, how would one go about getting on your podcast as a guest? And the actor guy that he was interviewing shit himself because he thought, who's this nutter? He thought, can you say nutter anymore?
Yeah.
I'll just
say whatever you like.
And
keep the racism to a minimum, but apart from that.
I see you later. And then I asked another question, like, I might start my own podcast. Called Cuddle Club. How would you go about that? And the guy was like, oh my God, it's this, you know, woman. But surprise, it was me. And then I did it. And then I did start it.
It's interesting when you take a subject that sort of wouldn't usually get discussed. But you end up getting, you know, you would think, well, what's, you know, we're going to talk about cuddling. It doesn't feel like it's going to be enough for a podcast. But actually, by being so specific, you get really good stories from, because Brett told a great story about him, you know, being at a party and cuddling the wrong people and not wanting to cuddle and then going up to someone saying, oh, I'm thinking it was his mate, going, I've just cuddled the wrong person, and then it wasn't his mate.
So he had
to go home because he'd just been cuddling random people. And so you wouldn't think it would lead to stuff, but I think you actually get really good stuff out of people as well.
Because you get into their relationships, yeah. their family, all the stuff that I want to know about anyway. But it is sort of embarrassing asking someone to do your podcast. Like, will you do my podcast? What's it called? Cuttograph. It is embarrassing, the whole thing, really.
So you do we did one remotely, which obviously is slightly against the principles of it.
Well, they're all remotely now, aren't they? Yeah.
So it's still working remotely. But you do a kind of astral plane cuddle, which I had to do with you. It worked for me. I believed you.
But athletes are all about visualization.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Although I had someone on the other day who I think hated me. I was interviewing her and I thought, this woman hates me. And she was like, it was just odd. And then at the end I said, I think we had a virtual hug and she was tricking me. She's like, well, I'm tricking you. I didn't even come in. And I was like, okay, well, I imagined it. Let's not put that out. Oh, shit, is that gone out? That
it's has gone out. Yeah, there's no, you can't stop it. That's in though. Look, can they've we, heard it in their ears.
Can we not have it out on the other one?
We can take it out the other one. That's a little extra for...
Don't tell anyone.
They won't tell anyone. These people don't know anyone.
I thought that Emma was wearing a mask because of the way the light is on Emma. I thought she was wearing a mask indoors. And I was like, Emma's taking this really seriously.
Everyone's on their own and they have no friends to tell
anything.
They're
not on their own because we're with them.
David Frew thought you were great on the first Rahulastapa there.
Oh, thank you.
Lou, Brian Lutchman thinks I have a flashy watch, which I think he probably means... It flashes when I...
I've got a steps watch because I am counting my steps, but we don't want to get into that.
We do want to. We're going to get into whatever you want to get into.
I don't want to get into that.
We want to get into it all. I'm going to ask some emergency questions.
I won't take it personally.
Just because people... Let me see how long... I can't remember what time we started, so I'm just going to go on until they turn the lights off. No, it's all right. We've been on about 40 minutes. It's gone very fast.
How long do we do?
Well, as long as we want.
45, 42.
Could do. We could stop now if we want. All these people who've paid £7.
They look bored as hell. Let's do two more minutes. Let's really ramp up the energy.
I need a wee. I did two wees before this, and
could
I still
you do
need
a dance or something like that. Like get you know do take
I'm
your top
ask
off.
You some emergency questions.
Who wants him to take his top off? You know what I mean. Do something a bit different. Tops off.
I've done it a lot. I've got the lot out.
Tops off.
If you want to see my top off, you want to see my bottom off, there's plenty of places
bottoms
to see
off,
it.
Bottoms off.
I'm happy to show my cock on the Clapham Grand. It's a rich tradition.
Katie sent me the screenshots.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and I hope I haven't asked you it before. Hey, I'll ask you this.
I won't remember.
What has been the worst occasion in which you've been totally naked, Liz?
The
worst occasion you've been totally naked. It fits into what we were just talking about. It was almost seamless. If I hadn't had a book in my hand, it would have looked like I just thought of that.
I mean, you don't want a really dark answer, so we're
skipping. I don't want a dark answer.
We're skipping. This is entertainment. Well, the worst occasion.
Are you the kind of person who gets your clothes off?
No, I went out with a boy who was very like that. Yeah. He was... Every occasion, it was a new relationship at the time, and he just like, oh, I'm playing poker and I'm getting naked, and I was like, I don't think I can trust this man. He's naked every night. When was the worst? I think it's just when you're with someone you don't want to be with, or I was with a boyfriend once, and his mum came in. That was awkward. And then she stayed in the doorway and offered tea.
Really?
Yeah. She saw what she wanted. She saw what she wanted and she thought, they need refreshments.
It's a weird thing. That's a weird thing from teenage. I didn't have much experience of that as a teenager. But, you know, there comes a point when you're old enough that your parents won't come into the room.
Yeah.
When you're with... I had a girlfriend. But my mum really needed something out of the room we were in.
No.
And my girlfriend went to the toilet, but it was just after she'd give me a little hand shandy.
Yeah.
And so my mum walked in and I was still... And my girlfriend was actually going to get some tissue to wipe up the mess. And I hope my mum's not listening to this. She might not have seen me. She walked in and got the book and went out again. But I was just lying on the sofa, sort of partially undressed. And
well, you should have been doing it in the front room.
Well, there was nowhere else to go. We weren't allowed to go in the bedroom because we might have had sex with each other.
Right, yeah.
So we were in the living room. But that's kind of weird, isn't it, when you have that...
I'd tell you the best times being naked.
Yeah.
funerals. It's unexpected. No, in the sea, when you go in the sea and you do skinny dipping, did that in Thailand, and it's so refreshing. And then with my friend Lucy Pearman, she's a comedian, in Oxford, we swam in the Oxford River like October time, I think, which is beautiful, and you're like, oh my god, this is idyllic, but it's part of the River Thames. So like, you're actually swimming with a lot of dead bodies, really, if it's all moving.
Yeah, you probably get rat syphilis.
But it looks beautiful. Anyway, we took our bikinis off because no one could see anything. It was all girls, so we took a very
tell me more, it sounds interesting
finger. A dead man's finger. Lodged. No, it's beautiful. But then some people came and we were like, it's our bikinis.
Yeah. Sounds like a Robin Asquith film, that's honest.
Mm. Nice. Sorry, I don't do films.
Oh, you don't know about films. He was meant to do my Ali Pali gig. He's from Confessions of a Window Cleaner. Do you ever seen those films? Hopefully we're going to have him on in the future.
Okay.
He's a great British actor, and he's in his 70s now, I think.
We'll get him on quick.
Get him on fast. He's very, you wouldn't know it to look at him. All his contemporaries look old, but he still looks like the young boy about town.
First question, what's your secret?
He's a good-looking boy. And I think we'll be an interesting guest. I'm going to ask you another. Do you think, Lou, you would have made a good sheriff in the Wild West?
I think I could get the stance. Like the sort of, you know, I think I could get the stance, you know? They do a lot of that, don't they?
There's a bit more to it than the stance, though.
I think I'm not very punitive, so I'll probably be like, on your way, go on. Go on, we've had a laugh, on your way. Send me some cheeky next time. I'd let all the women off as well.
Yeah.
Go on.
I don't think the women did that well. Mm. It was mainly men shooting each other, wasn't it? Here's an interesting question that's just come up. 824. You can tell by, because I had to write 1,001 of these for this book.
Yeah.
So you can tell by 824.
You give it
You
up
can
a bit.
Tell. You'll see. Fuck, marry, kill. Bing Crosby, Noddy Holder, Alid Jones. It's a question for Christmas, this one, I should point out.
Have you got any younger references?
Do you know who Bing Crosby is?
Do I? Singer?
I think that's Louis Armstrong. Are you doing?
Singer, Christmas
He's a songs. Singer, Bing Crosby. No, Noddy Holder from It's Christmas.
I can't picture any of these men.
And Alid Jones, the little guy, I'm walking in the
air.
I'm
not fucking Alid Jones, because he hasn't got enough spunk behind him.
He has now.
Bing, 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 put it in. I'll have him. What are the other two? Alid Omari. He's probably very good at tax receipts and stuff.
Killed Noddy Holder.
You heard it here first.
Bing Crosby's already dead. I would have gone for killing Bing Crosby.
Okay, I'll kill Bing.
And fuck Noddy Holder in his big... Would you fuck him in his big hat with mirrors on it?
No.
I would.
Well, then you can see what you look like, you know, from all angles.
I don't know if I want to see what I look like multiple times.
I'm in better shape, so I
do. I don't want to see that face. Have you ever improvised a condom, Lou Saunders?
I've got my own personalised condoms for Cuddle Club. And I've got three under the buses.
You've just had sex with Lou Saunders. Is that what you're... I should
no.
get some...
No, but
Congratulations.
No, but we were flirting.
Yeah.
Right. And I was going through my bag and one of them fell out. And he's like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's a personalised condom. And I was... Here's my chat up line. So I gave it to him and I said, you can keep this as a souvenir or use it.
And it worked.
Guess which one he did.
And he used it.
Kept it as a souvenir.
Do you remember when you did a gig in King's Lynn and fell down a riverbank? That was funny.
I was like, there was this beautiful... King's Lynn's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was supporting Joe Lycett on a tour gig. Yeah. And it was beautiful. Like, the sun was going down and this body of water. I love water. And... I thought, why is no one down by the water's edge? Everyone was up here. And I was like, is everyone mad? Get into the action. And then I just slided the whole way down. And then I thought, oh, that's why no one's down. But it was like an hour from the gig, so I had to go and... I washed everything, hand washed everything, and then put it in the tumble dryer. It was absolutely fine.
Was it all right?
Yeah.
Did you go into the river or just down, just muddy?
I might as well have at that point washed the mud off in the river.
Yeah.
I didn't think
you could have
that.
Jumped in, yeah. It's nice. And I was going to also ask you about, I saw this, were you doing an online dating show during lockdown? Was that ongoing or is it ongoing?
popping in. Oh my God, because I love dating shows. Yeah. That's what I really want to do, is host a dating show. I love True Love, and I think I'm really good at matchmaking people. And I took 6 couples, and the only reason I stopped was because it was so heteronormative, because I only had like white straight couples, and I thought, this is not good. But nothing against them, but it'd be nice to have a bit of a mix.
Well, you also, could have got some people who weren't in white heterosexual couples.
What's that?
You could
they didn't. I didn't have.
Oh, it wasn't your right. It wasn't your choice.
It was an online thing, right. And it took loads of time as well. I didn't have like a casting director, so it's just who replied to my Instagram stories. But anyway, out of 3 couples, 2 of them really got on and would see each other again. And the one couple that didn't and didn't want to see each other, I sort of knew they were wrong for each other, but I was rushed for time and there weren't enough applicants.
So you were putting them together. And then were you on the... I watched a bit of it. You seemed to be sort of sitting in on the online...
No, it was called Popping In.
So you pop in.
Popping in, popping out, right. Popping all about. And then they'd go on the date and then I'd pop in and say, don't say that to her. Or like, you'd be nicer, stuff like that.
Shouldn't they have had someone who's done well at dating to host that show?
Yeah, but I'm really good at giving advice, but bad at taking it. Yeah, no, that's true. But I've got commitment issues, so that's probably why.
Okay, yeah, I think you have.
I'm working on them, thank
you. That's all right. But you can be who you want to be. You don't have to work on things. You can be who
but
you
also,
can be Lou Sanders.
I did have this guy stay around 2 nights. I couldn't sleep. I missed out on a roller skating day, and I thought, this is a nightmare. And that's only 2 nights, so
yeah.
I thought, maybe it's not for me.
Well... Let's have
on
a look.
On that note,
I think we might have done an hour, but I don't want to stop because I think this is
no,
good.
No, I do believe in true love, and I am going to find someone I love and that loves me, and that's the truth of it.
Yeah, good
I
luck.
I forgot there was an audience.
It might be. I think Simon George's dragon might be for you down the bottom there.
You just never know, do
John
you?
Paul Howorth looks like he's very up for it, is what I'm saying. Look at his happy, look how happy, he's just sitting there going, choose me.
I'd like him...
Look, there he is, look at that.
Oh, he looks nice.
He does. He doesn't look that nice, does he?
Can you give me a show of hands? I do like a man with very big hands.
Tracy's got big hands, but they are just close to the camera. John Paul's got big hands. There's a lot of ladies watching, actually, here, which, you know, that's...
If you,
let's not be heteronormative.
That's very funny.
Marae Binfield, would you like to be Lou Binfield? I mean, that's your problem there, Marae. That's
they don't
right
have
there.
To take on Marae's name.
Your problem is your name. No one's going to marry. Well, at least you don't have to take the
I'm
name, do you?
I'm taking anyone's name.
Binfield.
On.
I think you should take. I think you should.
Lou Binfield.
Binfield. Don't marry Marae because it's, you know. Am I saying Marae right? Marae.
Nobody knows.
Oh, look, there's us.
There's us.
Oh, and there it's gone. And there's us again.
Well, let's end on a happy note.
What's your happy note? How are things. You're doing a drama based on your. Show?
Well, something's been optioned, but it's not. It might not go ahead. You know what it's like.
I do know what it's like. Mm.
In development hell. It's actually very enjoyable. Yeah.
I am to getting scripts on TV as you are to having a successful relationship.
You had a sitcom on TV, didn't you?
I had a one-off.
A pilot?
Thing. One-off comedy drama. In 2007.
No, I thought you had one more recently. Oh. Well, there's always next year.
I played snooker against myself on TV. That might be what you're thinking.
Did you? On TV?
Yeah, but for 5 minutes in that.
Wow.
In that comedian.
We are scraping the barrel.
Doing pretty well. What's coming up? What are you going to be doing? Off the back.
Roller skating.
Unforgivable.
Roller skating. And then other stuff in the pipeline when the pandemic.
And are you working on a new stand-up show?
Yes. About wonder, hopefully. It was supposed to be about, I was going to write a show about the dividedness. And then I thought, you'll know this, where energy goes, attention flows. So do it on wonder, because it's nicer.
Yeah. Is it difficult, because I'm not really trying to write a stand-up show.
Is it difficult being such a bellend?
Is it difficult writing something, not knowing when you're going to be able to actually do it? And is it difficult writing something without being able to do it? Because I do my writing on stage mainly.
I poop it out perfectly.
Poop it out of your fanny.
And I present it. No, it probably is. I don't know. I haven't really got very far. So, yeah,
no.
It is.
But it's weird, isn't it? Because we could be back in May or June, or we could be back in October or November.
But we can try it out on online gigs, I suppose.
Yeah. But, you know, how'd you tell?
Yeah, I know. Okay, bye-bye.
Look, I was just wondering what Will's up to. He's just got. They've just got a.
He sat back down for the goodbye, the big goodbye.
He came back. They went. Just went out for a beer, the two of them together, and came back. I think it got a bit fruity.
Yeah, you
talking about the condom. They just had a little time.
They're
off.
A good-looking couple.
There's some very nice. Yeah. This is what you brought to the table. Did you see any of these people in Nish's one? No.
Argos.
Did you see these beautiful, attractive, normal-looking people? Richard. I mean, I'm not talking about Maury Binfield here. He's very much in the wrong audience.
We're all God's children. Okay.
It's lovely.
Do you want to do roly-poly before we leave?
I don't. You can do whatever you want. You're on stage. When was the last time you were on stage?
I know.
And so we're on stage at the Clapham Grand. It's a beautiful venue. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. The Clapham Grand's lovely. Can't wait to work.
And you can, if you've got your tickets to these shows, you can watch them for the next 48 hours if you want to rewatch or have another go at watching the first one.
Of course, I don't want to rewatch. My God. Imagine them rewatching this all.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the amazing Lou Saunders.
Thank you
so much, everyone. Thank you to this amazing crew for helping us here. And thank you to you for watching. It's been brilliant to do
thank
a live
you.
One. Bye-bye. See you again. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Lou Saunders. Thank you very much to Pest for the music in this introduction and exit here. I'm indebted to my friend and producer, Chris Evans, not that one. I'm indebted to Ben Walker, still working very hard for us. I'm indebted to Kathleen McKeegan, who runs the fantastic Rahulastapa, rahulastapa.com. Very useful for researching my guests for me. It might be fun for you too. Thank you to everyone at the Clapham Grand for looking after us so brilliantly. Hope we'll get a chance to do some more there. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do some more theatre shows in 2021, if circumstances allow. This is a Twitch. No. Yes, I mean, it can be. It's a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Why not become a monthly badger? GoFasterStripe.com/badges. You get loads of extras, loads of extra interviews, badges, membership cards, ad-free podcasts, stand-up shows, extra videos that are secret from everyone, extra interviews that are secret from everyone, a monthly prize draw, chance to get emails giving you advance warning of the guests when we get back into the theatres. It's great. Plus, you will help us to make more podcasts. Remember, you can also subscribe with Amazon Prime to my Twitch channel at no cost to yourself if you're already with Amazon Prime. Don't join Amazon Prime just for that. He and Amazon has enough money. Let's just take some of his money back from him and give it to the world of podcasts. Thank you very much. Now go away. Why don't you go and listen to some more of my podcasts? Thanks, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
On Formative, middle school kids from New York City public schools interview a phenomenal collection of grown-ups.
Me, like, I don't know what I want to do.
You don't have to have all the answers.
I feel like a lot of people's favorite topics are, like, interest in their life.
That is a really good answer.
The podcast where the leaders of today are interviewed by leaders of tomorrow. Listen now at newyorkedge.org/formative or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.